This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Good morning, Bucknutters. It is Thursday, March 7th, 2024. I'm virtually certain. I am Dan Rubin. This is the Bucknuts Morning 5 and Change. I'm joined, as always on Thursdays, by Bill Kerlick and Mark Porter. We have a great show coming for you today. 24/7 Sports has updated its ratings for the class of 2025 and 2024, for that matter. But the 2025 is what we'll focus on. And we have some great news when it comes to that. Our guys are moving up and up and up. Also today, practice continues. We will get the defense after practice. We will have interviews with Jim Knowles, JT Tuimoloau, Jack Sawyer, Denzel Burke, and the like. They will all be there today. So that should be tremendous. Keep your eyes open for that. But first, I have to give some credit to our sponsor here, and that is Factor Meals. Eating better is easy with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. You'll have over 35 different options to choose from every week, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Also, there are more than 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled up and feeling good all day long. These meals are cooked in 2 minutes, and they are restaurant quality. We have been fortunate enough to get some of these. They are tremendous. I think I've told you people, I'm kind of a food snob and have raised some, and they eat these, which is for parents out there. If you're looking to speed it up, let's do this. It's flexible for your schedule. You can get as much or as little as you need by choosing your meals every week. You can pause or reschedule your deliveries every time. There's no prep. There's no mess. Factor meals are ready to heat and eat. No prepping, no cooking or cleanup needed. It's the perfect solution if you're looking for fast, premium options with no cooking required. We've done the math. Factor is less expensive than takeout, and every meal is dietitian approved to be nutritious and delicious. Head to factormeals.com/bucknuts50 and use code bucknuts50 to get 50% off. That's code bucknuts50 at factormeals.com/bucknuts50. To get 50% off. Those of you that listen to other podcasts or peruse the internet will know that Factor is also sponsoring podcasts even bigger than this one, so they must be legit. Gentlemen, 24/7 Sports updated their rankings yesterday, as I said. Devin Sanchez now number 3 in the country. Not that surprising. Naeem Offord, number 5 in the country. Not that surprising. Tavian St. Clair, you guys take a victory lap. The skinny, long, kind of unknown guy from Bell Fountain from 2 years ago is now the number 2 quarterback in the United States and the number 6 overall player. Bill, why don't you put those three guys in context? I think of the 5 stars that they have listed up there, technically, there are 7 commitments, 3 to Ohio State. Decent start.
For sure. 3 out of the top 6 Yeah, that's a very strong start, to say the least. And, I don't think – I think it would be hard to argue with any of those three. They're all that good. You look down the list even farther, and the good news is there's more potential to add to that. You've got some guys that – Carter Lowe, for instance. He is a borderline right now five-star guy that's committed to Ohio State. He's number 33 in the rankings. And in the end, right now they're taking the top 16 guys and making them five stars. But in the end, it's the top 32. Right. So very conceivable that you could actually almost say right now that Ohio State pretty much has four of half of their commitments would be five-star guys in that case.
Also interesting, Mark, a guy we've talked about a lot here, Trey McNutt, has been moved up. He's now the 23rd overall player, but the top safety in the country. Let me bring this up here. You can actually see this. For those of you playing at home, we've put the top recruits up here. As you can see, Bryce Underwood, still the number one player in the country, and David Sanders, the offensive lineman from Providence Day in Charlotte, number two. Ohio State's in on him. Ironically, DeCorian Moore, they have actually been speaking to lately, the number three overall player, who's a wide receiver. And if you keep scrolling down here, George McIntyre, that's who Tavian St. Clair jumped to be the number one quarterback. And keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. Trey McNutt. Okay, yeah. 23rd overall player, number one safety in the country. Mark, there was a time we didn't even know if he was going to be a safety or a corner.
That's why he's ranked so highly. Right there, that versatility that he can do both. The best thing about a safety is he's not a one-dimensional safety where he's an in-the-box guy or just an over-the-top guy. McNutt could be a man-to-man guy, and that's the quality that's the hardest to find. There's 700 high schools in Ohio. There might only be about 50 schools that play man-to-man exclusively. The rest of them are in zone coverage playing over-the-top all night. Why? Because it's hard to find four better athletes on defense than anybody on offense. So when you see McNutt and you see this value shoot up the boards, there is some pedigree there, and there is that versatility. And I like that word versatility, where if he's that corner, he's going to have to roll down on a slot player, and he's going to have to play some man or play some coverage. So that's why he has corner skills. Bill, I think, talked about him early on as being a corner. I was saying safety, and we've even said, watch him at receiver, lights out. The one-handed catch he made that Bill filmed that night, that's about as good as a wide receiver play we've seen all year. So the rankings, and when they come out, this Bill and I do this all the time. We'll hang up on this show and we'll kind of talk about like the stock of a player. Hey, Bill, I was just at this workout and you might be a little high on this player, and here's why I think you're a little high. And he might tell me the same thing. You might be a little low, or hey, take another look at this tape I just saw. And that's kind of what these rankings are. I wouldn't even call them rankings. I'd call it like a stock report.
Yeah.
It's constantly being updated. And it's a confidence thing, too, where Bill and I have seen Tavian St. Clair when he had no offers. I remember when he had one offer at Toledo, and my bat spidey senses are like, what's going on here? Why doesn't he have like 30 offers? And you think you're missing something and you're being critical of him then. And then you see the stock report catch up to what the analysts saw years ago. And that's why you want to be a member at Bucknuts, because Bill and I are usually a little ahead of the curve on this stuff. We're pushing that stock report, and it's nice to see when the 24/7 analysts kind of sync up with the symphony that Bill and I have been singing about Trey McNutt. And whatever week Bill saw Trey McNutt and got us that highlight film, he could have went to number 23 in the country on our board that day. So I feel like justice is served with some of these players when I see it. But again, if there isn't justice served, it's just a stock that needs a little more information, and then usually rises. There's players that I'm like, yeah, they could be a little higher, or I wonder why they're so high. What did they see that I didn't?
I almost see it in tiers now, T-I-E-R-S, where it's kind of like the way you're looking at the NFL draft now. You have guys, they say their tags are touching, meaning they're lined up on you have these little slides, but their tags are touching in a group. It's like, so you get to this pick, what do you want? This corner and this tackle and this quarter, all basically the same. It's hard to say one after the other. It's a little specific, but you do get a sense, obviously. But so, Ohio State is off to a tremendous start with this recruiting class. And there were some holy references on the Miami board to Brian Hartline, as in holy, not good. He's acting like a holy person because he's gotten crystal balls from Steve Wilfong for Jamie French, the once committed to Alabama receiver out of Mandarin and Jacksonville, and Vernell Brown, another Floridian. Bill, take us back here. It does seem like the South Florida Express AAU team, or 7-on-7 team as they call it, is being quite productive. These two guys played there as well. Other receivers who matriculate to Ohio State recently, Carnell Tate, Jeremiah Smith. Are these two guys next? What do you think of the crystal ball action? And can you put everything here in context? And maybe we know a lot about Jamie French, and you've written a lot about Vernell Brown. We haven't talked about him as much.
Yeah, Vernell Brown, he was first listed as an athlete in the rankings, but Ohio State has recruited him all along as a wide receiver, and they have been recruiting him hard. He was at the Ohio State-Michigan State game back in mid-November, and afterwards he told me how impressed he was. He loved it. In fact, ever since it was at that game, he's told me, I'm going to get back to Ohio State, and I will make an official visit to Ohio State. So I do think Ohio State is a strong candidate to be where the school he picks. Now, Ohio State is going to have to beat out the Florida schools. He is, of course, a Florida kid, South Florida kid. Miami's very much in there. Florida State is in there, and Florida's in there. So they are going to have to beat those schools out, but I think they're in a pretty good position. I'm not ready to crystal ball him yet because, again, I want to see how things progress moving forward. But Vernell Brown has steadfastly told me since November I'll be at Ohio State in the spring, and he will be March 19th. He will be at Ohio State, and I will make an official visit to Ohio State. That hasn't been scheduled yet, but that's coming. So, you know, there's every reason to feel like Ohio State has just as good or better chance right now than anybody to land Vernell Brown.
Other guys that were highly rated, Bill, Fahim Delane, Dorian Brew. I suppose we're legally obligated to update Dorian Brew. Nothing really brewing, as it were, in terms of new developments there.
No, he's going to make official visits. He is getting back to Ohio State this spring, and he will get back to Ohio State on an official visit. But he's going to take his official visits. There's some feeling in Texas that he may not want to leave the state of Texas now. I still have him crystal ball to Ohio State, but it's a battle. It is absolutely a battle now for his services.
Everyone can relax. Aditra has checked in. If I don't post her good morning quip here on the chat, I get things like, is everything okay with Devin? Everything's fine. Team Sanchez is locked in, people.
To go on Dan's point about the rankings where he said tiers, at Scouting Ohio, that's how I do the rankings because, you know, number 23 is McNutt, number 30s is Delane and French. Between 1 and 30, there is not that big of a difference. That might seem like a mile between number 1 and the number 30th rank when you do rankings 1 by 30, but I think fans like the rankings. They like the number system. Where the tiered system might be a more accurate way to depict what's actually going on. Sometimes there are big tiers, and sometimes there are little tiers. Sometimes when you're watching quarterbacks, you'll be like, there's 7 this year I love. And then sometimes you'll say, there's only 2 I love, and that starts another tier. And you can kind of do that when you have a grading system. Like I have a system of A, B, C, D, where I can name a lot of kids an A, and I can name a lot of kids a B, and I can start to separate my tiers like that. But again, I think these rankings are built for the fans. And when you're fighting with Michigan, USC, and Alabama, you want to be able to say our player is better than their player, even if it's only by a couple spots or a little bit of confidence. But boy, the difference between a 1 and a 5 and a 10, it's minute. I mean, in fact, you as a ranker, Bill, I'm sure you sat there many times racking your brains going, where do I put this kid? I really like him. And then you get into position scarcity and position value, and are tackles more valuable than guards, and you rank them like that. So I digressed into these rankings because that's what I do every day, and I kind of see fans go crazy over, wow, he moved down 7 or 8 spots. That's like moving down nothing. That's like nothing. So there's my thoughts on that.
It's also important to mention that, you know, these guys in general, their takes, it doesn't really matter where they're ranked. And we're talking about this level of dude, like top 50, anyone in the top 50, if you look, calls Ohio State and says they're ready to go. They're ready to go for the most part. Now, Ohio State has gotten to the point where you're going to see people saying they recruit, they don't recruit. I saw someone on the Twitter or the X say Ohio State is not recruiting. They're building an Avengers, which is a good thing to be. And I will tell you this, Ohio State, and I can sense it now, they are the squad that every other school is going to take shots at. There was a very ridiculous Ole Miss thing I saw posted that Jeremiah Smith is wearing number 4 and Quinshon Judkins isn't. So something must have happened with Quinshon Judkins for Jeremiah Smith to get his number. So people are looking to create some fuss because they're jealous of the talent level Ohio State has. And we'll go from there. Okay, I'm going to read our next sponsor. Definitely one I love reading in front of Bill and Mark. And it is Joy Mode. Ask Patrick Murphy. This stuff works. Sexual performance booster. And I think I speak for most men when I say we want to have better sex. And for the sake of our partner, we may need to have better sex. The issue is over-the-counter pills contain unregulated chemicals, suggest unsafe doses, and include the risk of several other health problems. That's why we've partnered with our friends over at Joy Mode. Whether you're looking to spice up intimate moments or increase your confidence in the bedroom, all natural and science-backed supplements from Joy Mode are dedicated to helping men perform better across their core sexual functions. Their trademark product, the Sexual Performance Booster, is every man's solution for increased blood flow and performance. It's like a pre-workout for sex. Simply mix 6 to 8 ounces of water 45 minutes before activity and watch the magic unfold literally. Redefine your intimacy and go to usejoymode.com for 20% off with code BUCKNUTS. That's 20% off and free shipping with code BUCKNUTS at usejoymode.com. And I've told you guys, people are probably more willing to discuss their Omaha Steaks and Factor orders, but I'm told Manscaped and Joy Mode, BUCKNUTS do quite well. So there we go. All right. Guess what happens during spring practice? The Buckeyes practice, and then really good players come and watch, and then we try and get them to go to Ohio State. Two of them coming today, who are kind of on the borderline, Bill. Two visitors, one in-state, one out. Why don't you let us know who they are? It's Damian Shanklin and Nolan Davenport. What you think of each one and kind of the current situation as they – unfortunately, I don't think we're going to get a sunny day in Columbus.
No, not a sunny day in Columbus and not a warm day. It's not the 70 degrees we had a few days ago with sun. It's in the 40s with clouds. But nonetheless, people always ask me about who's on commitment watch. Well, today we have scholarship offer watch. Damian Shanklin, a defensive end out of Indianapolis Warren Central, I would be a bit surprised if he was not offered a scholarship. He's got a heck of an offer list as is. He's the guy that was going to visit a little while back, but it got postponed and people were all worried. I remember seeing, oh, that one's off the board, not visiting. And it was just a postponement. He is to be at Ohio State visiting today. And Nolan Davenport, Massillon, Washington offensive tackle. I think they both have a very real chance of being offered. And that's what I'll, one of the things I'll be watching today. But there's a couple, several other guys too, to worth worth keeping an eye on today. One is the punter, believe it or not, Nick McLarty from Australia. He is back at Ohio State today. He was at Ohio State on Tuesday. He is back today to watch practice before he flies out to another visit. So he's an interesting one. He would be a 2024 enrollee, so to speak. Although he graduated in 2022, he would come in to whatever class or whatever school he picks in their 2024 class. Then you've got Javion Campbell, a defensive end out of Kentucky that has a pretty good offer list visiting Ohio State today. And then here's one of my favorites. Mark and I have talked about him. In fact, I think we were about the first people to be talking about him. Tight end Brody Lennon from Gilmore Academy is visiting Ohio State today. And, well, I was really impressed watching that kid's tape. He splits out a lot, and he's not your inline tight end, but he's an impressive young man that I'm not predicting a scholarship offer for him today necessarily, but I'm predicting keep an eye on him.
Yeah, it's interesting. We talk about safety and corner and tight end, two positions that have really changed over the last 10 years, or at least spread out. Is Roy Williams is not your safety anymore, or Chuck Cecil back there. You're not looking for someone to just decapitate someone. You got to be able to cover. And man, the Brock Bowers types have really kind of saturated the market here. Tight ends, really, the classic inline tight end is almost a dinosaur now, it seems like, even though Ohio State can still use them. Okay, we're going to move on to your questions here. I'm going to go as fast as we can to get to as many as we can. However, I wanted to let you know for sure. One second, I want to get back to the one I was going to do. All right. That we're going to get the defensive guys today after practice. Jim Knowles, Denzel Burke, Jordan Hancock, Tyleek Williams, Ty Hamilton, Lathan Ransom, JT Tuimoloau, Jack Sawyer, and Cody Simon will speak today after practice. We will be there with bells on. All of our guys are there. The Holy Trinity of Steve, Dave, and Pat, and they will bring you all the news that's fit to print. So very cool, loaded defense, and you'll get a chance to hear from them all. Be locked in. So here it is. Okay. Those of you playing at home, Mark, want to pull that video up for me again? Those of you playing at home or watching the show are going to get some video love here from Jermaine Runnels. Question is about Marion Dye. Is that right?
Yeah.
His name?
That's the name. Yeah, yep. It's spelled a little differently, but I would believe that's probably how you say it.
Okay. Tell me who he is, Mark, and if we want him or not.
Well, he's a defensive end from Elkhart High School in Elkhart, Indiana. And he's an outside linebacker on this first clip. We'll start it again here so I can get my thing up. And right. He's not a linebacker probably in college because that would require him covering. But he is a defensive end. On this next clip, you're going to get an idea of how big he is as he runs past this tackle. See, he's probably two heads taller than that kid. And he looks like a man amongst boys coming across the screen.
Hello.
Yeah, this looks like the type of kid that he's just getting started. You know, the puppy with the big paws that's going to grow? That's kind of what you're looking at here. Off the edge there, he looks like he's shot out of a gun. I would say this could be a kid that we're going to be talking about more as we get into the summer at least. Great job by our Bucknuts fans of bringing this to our attention. It's the first time I'm seeing him. There's a nice long body to look at.
Yeah, definitely has the length.
Yeah, it looks 6'5", to me like 235. Yeah. Pretty good size for an edge guy coming.
I feel like they're in the mix for several guys who are listed as defensive ends, and I'm not sure what they're going to play in college. Nasir Wyatt, London Merritt, they're just these guys who kind of, like Mark said, they seem a little, I don't know about raw to me now. They just seem like guys who are just whippersnappers to get to the quarterback, and they're going to gamble that they're going to be able to fill out, but they've got that burst off the edge. They're clearly looking for, I don't know, that kind of hybrid outside linebacker, defensive end, you know, not jack position, a little closer to the line of scrimmage, but definitely those guys who are, I guess they could flare out and cover a running back at times, but you want them going after the quarterback.
Yeah, in the case of Merritt is a defensive, Ohio State is absolutely recruiting him as a defensive end. There is a chance he could move into tackle, but they're recruiting him as a defensive end. Justin Hill's the edge guy, and right. Marion Dye, you know, he's 6'5", 235 right now. He's going to be 260 plus probably in a couple years. I mean, he's, in my opinion, he's going to be a defensive end.
Yeah, he's got, you could tell the long arms and his stance there. Go ahead, Mark.
This body type, this 6'4", 6'5", 230, 240, that develops into a first-round pick. Yeah. It's just figuring out which one it is that's going to be that guy that does the developmental next step. But I had a college coach once tell me, I will take as many 6'4", 6'5", 220, 230-pound guys as you will give me. I'll just keep taking that body style. You don't have to tell me what they are. You don't have to tell. They could turn into an offensive lineman in a few years. They could turn into a tight end, defensive end, defensive tackle. The possibilities are, you know, vast. So there's a lot of ways that they won't miss on that player. But if they truly hit on that long edge body style, it's one of the most valued, coveted things in the NFL draft. And, you know, getting to the quarterback is, you know, a high premium. You'll pay for that.
And Damian Shanklin is that guy too. He's 6'4", 230, so he fits right in there.
They got a type they're looking at here. All right, this is from Doozy. With the Trey McNutt situation, excuse me, I'm going to try and brief you guys on that quickly.
I have Shanklin queued up if you want to look at him.
We can get back to that. The Trey McNutt situation. Trey McNutt, Shaker Heights. Ohio has certain rules about what you're able to do in the off season. He participated in, I'm going to air quote, an all-star game or 7-on-7 deal. Ohio said you shouldn't do that. He did it anyway. And so I'm not sure if it's been official yet, but the idea is he's going to be suspended for one game. And there's, you know, this has turned into an argument over fairness. And keep in mind, all states govern their own high school athletics the way they see fit. There are some states that govern differently within the state. It can be in your county. So it's kind of goofy. Now people are saying the Trey McNutt situation, not people are saying, Doozy is asking, are the Ohio high school archaic rules why elite players like Chris Henry Jr. and Dorian Brew are leaving the state?
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
From what I know about Chris Henry Jr. and Dorian Brew, I don't think Ohio's rules had much to do with it at all. Dorian's was a falling out with the Northmont staff, and he had a great place to land as his dad, you know, is a high school assistant coach and head track coach at Conroe in Texas. So a reasonable lily pad hop. And Chris Henry Jr., I think, is just a family deal.
Yeah, he's got all kinds of family in California and the West Coast. You get a chance to go to California and play for Mater Dei. That's not a bad opportunity.
As I look outside here, I'd like to go do that. So, yes, while those two guys did not have anything to do or didn't move based on Ohio's rules, they are archaic. And it usually takes something like this to tweak them. Mark, feel free to comment, as I know you are raising your hand, which means you're geeked.
Talked to a Big Ten coach about this situation last night, and it tangented off into a couple different things for fear that I'm going to sound like the get off my grass, the old guy that wants you not on his lawn. And I know the reasons they don't want 7-on-7 in Ohio. You know, there's 700 high schools. There's only 100 Division I. A lot of the smaller schools, if you started doing spring football and spring 7-on-7s, those athletes would be gone and they would not play baseball, track, and whatever else, and it would kill some of the sports. That's not a huge factor, but that's one of the factors. I don't think high school coaches like the way AAU is handled in basketball, where those coaches become, and I hate to use this term, sometimes handlers, and they're handling the basketball players with the college recruitment, and the players think they get more recruited in AAU than they do at their own schools, and there's a power struggle there, and I think football coaches fear that. And then this is straight from a Big Ten coach last night. 7-on-7s are the most overrated evaluational tool out there. He goes, we stand at these things and there's nothing to watch or evaluate. They're in t-shirts and shorts. There's no pass rush. They're standing back there for 5 seconds. Okay, there's a million things that make it not an evaluation thing where kids need to do this to get recruited. Although they think going on these 7-on-7 tours with the pageantry and the gifts and the hype with some of these tournaments, the kids think that if I don't go there and they stress out and they worry they're not being picked on 7-on-7 teams, and it's not the evaluational tool that kids think it is. It is fun. It is a developmental tool. I have two young quarterbacks, and I wouldn't take a college coach and say, hey, watch my kid on a 7-7, give him a scholarship. I'd say, go work at these 7-on-7s, work on your route combos, work on it, and hopefully when you get into a situation when you have pads on, you can look like you do in a 7-on-7. And I'll say this from my own personal experience. I watch 7-on-7s, and I'll have kids complete 300 or 400 yards worth of passes in one game. I go to week one, and they struggle to complete a pass, struggle to get 20 yards on the board passing by the end of the first quarter. It's a different world when the bullets are flying, when you can't see over guys and hands are in your face. And, you know, so this 7-on-7 battle, yeah, I want to see it. And Ohio kids do have a window, May 15th through July 30th, where they can go 7-on-7 every day if they want, and they can play a ton of it. And in the meantime, it's not like Trey McNutt's and these guys can't find situations like we just showed you at Raw Talent, where you can get yourself in a little 7-on-7 situation in those workouts that are legal and get your reps, you know. So without being so mean to the people that want this rule to change, I kind of do, but I kind of my heels are in the ground a little bit too. But once we open that, just like NIL and the transfer portal, once you open that window in Ohio, you're not getting it back. So I think there might be a slow roll into it eventually, kind of like, you know, Ryan Day helped, you know, open the window a little wider in the summer so we could play a little longer. That window may open at different times for different periods, but a lot of this is about hype and pageantry and the kids getting gifts at some of these bigger 7-on-7s.
Uh-oh, another hand raised.
Too. I have to mention.
Dietra has a nice comment about.
I see a comment by Dietra Sanchez on here. She says, I agree. Hold on a second.
Let me pull it up. Jeez.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have to chime in on that. I agree. 7-on-7 is a social event. Sorry, but it is. Well, it's a social event for coaches and players. Those are the
and reporters, Bill.
And reporters. Yeah, it is really kidding. Is a social event. You know, Mark and I go to these, we were constantly at 7-on-7 events last spring. And you see the kids standing around talking. You see college coaches standing around talking. You see, as you mentioned, Dan, guys like Mark and I standing around talking. It is a great social event for sure, Dietra. That's a one that I will 100%, 1,000% agree with.
Is there some potential gain to having these guys be on the same teams together for recruiting? Yes, I assume so, but I can also tell you this, and Bill will tell you this. The most overrated term, or one of them, in recruiting is the package deal. Yep. Early on in recruiting, these two kids will hang out, and they'll be like, let's go to Auburn together. Or I'm just saying Auburn off the top of my head. That has nothing. And then they get back to their parents, and their parents are like, yeah, right. We're going, you know, we have our own plan. I covered a kid. This is a true story. I covered a big-time basketball player. Big time, who found out into his recruitment that one of his friends was telling everyone they were a package deal, and the coach, he was getting calls from people saying, like, why are you going to this? Yeah, I don't even know what you're talking about. So some of that's garbage. Now, You do get to see in the 7-on-7, the one thing I will say is about T-shirt and shorts is you do get to see wide receivers run next to cornerbacks, okay? So in terms of just judging pure speed, that's like people get on the combine for running the 40. Who cares what your time is? Are you faster than the guy that ran after you and before you? It's a relative number. If everyone's using the same clock, whether that clock is off or on is irrelevant to me. It's just make sure everyone's on the same. Does that make sense? Like,
yep.
Who won the race? That's why I love that. Man, I could watch that 40 graphic where they put they superimpose two guys and make them like Patrick Mahomes run against Devondre Sweat. I wish there was just something where I could put in the names and have Mark Porter run against Bill Kerlick. Now that would be fun. But I think we've realized that football took some cues from basketball because also you make a lot of money in those events. Okay. People got to travel. They got to stay in hotel rooms. They got to do all this other crap. Believe me, if you go sign up for an AAU tournament, there are some basketball tournaments you have to stay in certain hotels. So it's a giant business and they've taken the cue from that. All right. Let's
yeah, there's some people that have taken umbrage to my comments about, you know, me banging. I'm not banging on 7-on-7, but it's not the end all be all kids need it or they're going to die. You can get your reps and you can get seen. And the biggest argument for it, and I'll, you know, end on this one, is some states, their athletes do get ahead of us, but they have flat out, they have spring football. It's not the 7-on-7s that are pushing them so far ahead. You can do 7-on-7 with your own team in practice. You can do 7-on-7s with your buddies after a weightlifting session. You can, I see 7-on-7s all the time that are, you know, school related. These are, we're talking about events that are, like Bill said, they're social things. They're hype events. They're meet and greets. And there's plenty of business to get done at those things. But Ohio kids, I do feel bad and I am pushing, but I'm trying to like be the mediator here where here's why the rule is the way it is. There you go. Yeah.
We're better than blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
you mean, this is high quality stuff.
A few rational points in there, maybe.
Let's see here. Let's get some more questions. This is a good point. It's just not real football. It is
not. Yeah.
You got to be there.
Yeah, I just talked to a Big Ten coach last night who he ranted on me about what I just repeated to you. You know, like his feelings were, I'm so sick of us getting dragged to these things when we're not getting an evaluation piece of the puzzle. So,
but as you mentioned, Dan, you have to be there. You know,
you got to be there.
If Ohio State is not there, kids would notice that. You know, if USC is not there, they notice that. They notice who's there. Absolutely.
All right, let's go back to Damian Shanklin. Mark has some video on him. Damian Shanklin, Warren Central. Visiting today.
Yeah, well, we're talking about edge players, and we were watching the other kid. I was like, we better pull this kid up and show everyone what, you know, what's going to be on campus today. And it's very similar. This kid might be a little twitchier out of his stance, might come out of the blocks a little harder. That's a nice change of direction.
I love
for a
that.
Big man. Yeah, that's a cat-like change of direction. And again, when we watch these huddle tapes, if I was going to make a film, yeah, that's selling out into a guard.
Holy mackerel. Run that one back.
Yeah. Okay.
Can you do that?
Oh yeah, we can do that.
He decapitated that guard.
Yeah, that's called crashing down and replacing. Yeah,
good
and
Lord.
So you would put violence in this evaluation, and
yeah,
I tell you what, when I see violence in a high school player, that kid usually shows up on a college field, whether it's a MAC kid or a Big Ten kid. Violence is a transferable trait that if you have it in high school, it'll serve you well in the college game. Now, violence is a part of effort, but nice spin move there. That was gliding past somebody. It was like a dance around the edge. I like this kid better than the last kid we watched because I think he's got a little more twitch to him and maybe a little more polished, maybe not as raw. Some of these pass rush skills we've seen inside out. We've already seen a spin. If he has a few more, he's got a nice repertoire, which would give him the experience edge. And you know what? I love watching players back to back like this because you can just do what we just did. I think we like this one better. And no, I like the other one better.
That's what I was saying before, Mark. That's what I was saying before about running the 40. It's a relative number. Yep. If you run a 4.9 and you're the fastest guy there on a slow clock, you're still the fastest guy there. No one's going to catch you.
Yeah, 100% accurate with, like, yeah, don't worry about if the watch is accurate. Just all those guys on that day, who's the king of the heap. But, yeah, I think if we would even do this more, watch two guys back-to-back, I think we would do a lot of evaluation where you could show Bucknuckers exactly why you like one more than the other or why one may have an offer and one may not.
Bill, quick review on Shanklin.
Go ahead.
Just a quick review on Shanklin. He's visiting today. I now want him more than I did before I saw that video.
Yeah, and he obviously would like to get an Ohio State offer. You know, he didn't reschedule that visit for no reason. You know, you look at his offer list: Notre Dame, Michigan, USC. The list: Texas, Tennessee. The list goes on and on. He's got a very impressive offer list, and again, I would be more surprised today if he does not get an offer than if he got one, for sure.
Yeah, I'd like to offer him to be on the BM5. Good Lord. He looks like he can do plenty.
Doing the side-by-side, it reminded me of somebody that one guy would like to see get a bump in the rankings because he's not in the 247, is Marquise Davis from Cleveland Heights. I mean, I just love that kid as a prospect. And I think he's destined to end up in the top 247. He's not there yet. Watching him the night I did, where he rushed for over 300 yards, hard to not come away impressed with that. And I believe he had over 2,000 yards total rushing yards this past season.
Got a good discussion going in the chat about AAU versus 7-on-7.
We've kicked up some dust on this subject. You can tell that this is people are passionate about this.
Uh-huh. I don't know how to explain this. I've had kids do AAU for a long time. We started an AAU team here for my eldest son a while back. There are more kids playing AAU than doing 7-on-7. Let's first say that. The guys doing 7-on-7, I will say, tend to be guys who are going to play either for your varsity team or going to play in college. That's kind of the goal. AAU, my issue with AAU is, what is your goal? If your goal in playing AAU basketball is to play college basketball, most of the events don't have college coaches there, like an extreme majority of them. Okay, there's open windows for that. And then even the ones that they can attend, the college coaches don't attend very much. So it's very, very, very difficult to get recruited right now in basketball as a high school kid. Okay, the transfer portal has kicked people up a level. I can tell you, with a son that plays Division III basketball, the guys they're recruiting now from the time when he got there are very, very different in talent level and who the other teams are recruiting them. There's just not enough spots. AAU basketball and football are different also because even though AAU basketball is some consider an abomination, you're still playing basketball 5-on-5. In football, you can't put pads on. So that it's completely different. There's just a different deal to it right there from the start. So I get it.
It seems like AAU started where football is now, where it was just the best of the best that got selected to an AAU team. And these tournaments were like these three or four all-star teams that had all Division I kids clashing. And it was just this big event. AAU to me now, and this may be my kids, anybody can get on an AAU.
It's also not AAU, by the way.
Yeah, and it's not even AAU anymore. It's just tournaments. It's tournaments every weekend. It's kids trying to get – I looked at AAU, of course, when my kids were younger, as developmental. Like, go out there and play and just keep playing and playing.
The sport you love. That approach is solid. If you were in AAU, this is how we did.
They call that AAU, and that my kids think, oh – I'm on an AAU team, and you can hear them talk to their friends at school.
You are technically just means you're on a select team. But what I'm saying is,
what AAU was when it started, which gave it the hype. Now, similarly, and then we could
those are shoe circuit teams now.
Yeah, and similarly, we could break down these 7-on-7s. There's so many different 7-on-7s. There's the all-star 7-on-7s where there are the best teams with Snoop Dogg's team and Two Live Crew's got a team, and they're star-studded events where every player is dying to get picked, and they're probably getting paid or bribed. And then there are other 7-on-7 teams that are just guys working. And there are 7-on-7 events that are high school teams that are not even good high school teams. There's high school teams that, you know, didn't win any games last year that are playing on 7-on-7. So there's a wide variety of that animal when you say 7-on-7. A lot of the stars that we're dealing with are pissed off they can't play on 7-on-7s because they're missing out on the hype. I can assure you that guys like McNutt could be at a different place. And California was the big event last week, and I saw it on my Twitter feed. I'm sure he would have loved to have been in California collecting the uniforms and free shoes and gifts and taking the vacation out west rather than sitting back in Ohio and doing nothing. That's where the big argument for the stars comes in.
As someone that coached AAU basketball for many, many years, I coached high school basketball and AAU basketball. When I was coaching high school basketball, when I started, AAU basketball really wasn't a thing. It quickly developed. And I coached in one of the best programs out there, the All-Ohio program for AAU. Those kids really do enjoy it. I mean, it's a good time, and it is a good way. I had a lot of kids on my teams that they were doing it to get seen by colleges and all that kind of stuff too, but they were doing it to get better too. They were absolutely, it was a higher level of athlete that many of them were going against than playing for a high school team. And so there were kids that were absolutely working to get better as well as just the being seen type thing.
Look, it's case by case basis, like it is with anything. Are there some AAU programs and 7-on-7 programs you could send your kid to and he will thrive and get better? Of course. Are there some programs that you can send him to where you're going to show up for practice? There are going to be 15 guys there for the basketball team and you're underwriting the starters? Yes, there's those too. So it's on the parents here. As Team Sanchez underwrites this podcast, it's on the parents to get this going and get your kid in the right spot. I have told an individual before about my own son, like, you're not going to stop him. He's going to do what he's going to do. You can either help him or not, but we'll find a place to get better. No coach is responsible for your child. You are. And so you're not, if you're turning everything over to a coach in the summer who doesn't have like a, come on, man, that's on you. That's not on anyone else. So
the more involved you are, the better. We can talk about this for a very long time. Cause as you're talking, I'm thinking of, I like what you're saying, Dan. You're responsible for your kid's progress. And, you know, if you think putting him on a team that's going to go undefeated where he's the 16th man is the way to go, you're not doing things right. You know,
what's your goal?
Yeah.
Tell me the goal.
And there are kids out there that will buy into that. Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't think parents properly evaluate their kid. I've always been honest with my kids, and I make fun of like Division VII schools. Like, I'll send my kid to a Division VII school if that's what he is, if that's what it takes for him to be successful and be happy and be normal and just go play sports like a normal kid. I don't need you to go put a crown on every weekend to impress me as my son is playing a sporting event. So there are teams, and I tell you what, I've seen a lot of kids, whether it's football or basketball, go on these teams that aren't very good and come out the other side where they've got the reps and development and the school of hard knocks went through them where they're a better player now. And that's what you're saying, Dan, like, my kid's going to get better. If you want to be a part of it or not, you know, it doesn't have to be here.
I'll leave you with this. If you're not going to play, you should not be on the team. Okay. Yep. If you're underwriting everyone else's playing time, that is silly. That makes no sense. I always viewed it like this. It's interesting. I'm on one chat about basketball. Like I said, I'm a nerd. And we actually had the basketball banquet for my younger son last night. Did he get first team all Southwest District as a 5'8 junior? He did. But I digress. I see high school sports as old town high. If you make varsity and get a letter, that's all you get. You have no guarantee of playing time. You have no guarantee of anything. You need to be a good practice player, and you need to support the team. AAU, you're a stockholder. You should be playing in every single game. It should be basically even playing time. The best teams I've ever seen. Now, if you get on the circuit, you're a different deal. I'm not talking to you. But you should be on a team that everyone plays for about three quarters, and the fourth quarter you try and win. But like I said, if you're paying money to play AAU basketball and your kid isn't playing, you are getting screwed. You are underwriting the people above you. And high school basketball, like I said, you can sit on the stand, you can sit on the bench, wear your letter, and still get a great date out of that. That's not how AAU should work. You're a stockholder, so I would investigate that thoroughly. We talked way too much about that. 48 minutes, that's 8 free minutes of content today for you people. You're not going to get that anywhere else. Look at this. We've gone so far, we're going into Italy. But I digress. Appreciate these guys stopping by. Have a good one, Bucknuts.
Baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.